Good morning and welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show Radio to open the heart, heal the soul, and awaken the consciousness. I hope you're not too sleepy this morning. Betty, you look marvelous.
Why, thank you very much. The feeling is mutual. We're doing this yet again via Zoom, and everyone's jumping online. They're getting ready to watch us.
I'm so glad. I miss you. I miss the hug.
Miss you too. You know, okay, then virtual hug. Virtual hug.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And we're hugging my guest, Cynthia, who is not on the show yet, but she's here. So we're hugging everybody. Yeah. So anyway, welcome to the radio show. I am from my lovely little abode, my sanctuary. You can see my little people out here that and my stars above my head. So I must be okay. Must be going to do okay. Anyway, I want to remind you, I'm Loretta Brown. I'm the owner of Reiki Oasis, located right here in the greater Seattle area, going on 26 years in business. And I am doing everything remotely right now, which is interesting and challenging, and actually like it a lot in some aspects. So I'm still not back in the office. I will let people know as soon as I get back in there. We're kind of taking a look at what the requirements are for everybody getting back out there. And I got to tell you, I'm ready to go back. This has been really great, but there's a lot going on. So a couple of announcements to remind you that I do have a weekly meditation on Sunday mornings at 11. And please sign up at schedule.reikioasis.com. And this is by donation. And it's a donation of $0 all the way up to, you know, $22 if you want to go that high. But I wanted to make it available to people. It's just kind of a refresh, a renew. And then we're doing all kinds of things. This past week we did cord cutting, which I think is really important. But we're doing a lot of things to activate your light body, because that's really kind of what my message is to people. I also have my monthly class with the women on May 16th at Temple of Divine Feminine. We are doing that virtual, and it's working out really, really well. And then a couple of astrology mentions, because it actually segues into bringing Cynthia onto the show. So Pluto went retrograde, and it will be retrograde until October 4th. And oh, my friends, during this retrograde, we will be overcoming our deepest fears. We have reached a turning point. Our planet is recalibrating, and of course, I think we're doing it along with it. Major transformation is underway. But coming up this next week on Tuesday, we have one of the most important transits of the year. On May 5th, the nodes of the moon switch signs, and I'm going to spend just a few minutes on this because it's important. The movements of the nodes are going to be releasing some of this pressure. And without going too far into it, the nodes are about our past lives, our karma, and our opportunity to rewrite our destiny. So it's real important to take a look at them. The only way to find out how to complete the karmic lesson of your south node is to look at your north node. So the south node traditionally carries the karma of our past lives. The north node is our future. But the North Node carries the keys of how to solve the problems of the South Node. And if that's not confusing enough, I'll give you an example, because we've been living it to the max. So let's try to figure what has happened with the nodal trance that we just went through. And from 2018 until May of 2020, which is like right now, like tomorrow, the North Node has been in Cancer and the South Node has been in Capricorn. Capricorn is where our challenges have been. It's our past karma. It's kind of the mess we've made. So Capricorn represents structures, systems, top-down hierarchies, politics, large organizations, work, and the needs of the system being more important than the needs of the individual. It's a very worn-out and corrupted patriarchal approach. And as the nodes have been transiting, we've also had a large number of other planets in Capricorn, that planet of structures and work, which has really caused all this pressure on us. So obviously, the answer is not in the south node. We don't need more structures, more hierarchies, more tight squeezes. So what's the way out? Well, we got to look at the north node in Cancer to find the answer. And what is Cancer? Nurturing, nourishing. It's about each individual being safe and looked after. It's about the individual, the family, Mother Earth, spending more time at home, taking care of the vulnerable, such as the children and the elderly, the archetype of the nurturing mother. So how weird is it that the virus has sent us all home? And look at how that has affected us. Who knew? Is it possible? And I'm, Cynthia, are you going to help me answer this question in a moment? Hang on. Is it possible the virus is part of our evolutionary process? Is it part of what has contained the keys to the opportunity for us to change our destiny? Is it helping us, I hesitate to say it, quantum jump? Cynthia, Sue, Larson, I can't wait to bring you onto the show. So hang on a minute, because I want to take a quick look at what is happening, because those are the nodes we've been in. And in May, we shift. And what's going to happen? The north node's going to go into Gemini, and the south node is going into Sagittarius. Now, remember, the south node, Sagittarius, this is where our challenge lies. And Sagittarius is an interesting sign to create a challenge, because it's our abstract mind, our intuition, our big picture thinking. Sagittarius is the spiritual teacher who tries to find meaning beyond logic and is very much into abstraction. But as such, it can lack curiosity. It can prefer to follow a marked path, you know, trying to go up that path of ascension in a very particular way. There are times when we really need this kind of energy, but if we take a look at the world around us and how it's changing, we have a lot of that. We really do. We've developed a lot of it. The way out for the next couple of years is for us to take a look at the North Node in Gemini. And Gemini is curious. They're logic-based. They open their eyes. They want to find the facts. Just the facts, please, ma'am. I'd like some knowledge. And they love to work with the people close around them. They're a curious explorer. And we're going to be watching them, all of us, come up with new, innovative, and tangible ideas for manifestation. So it's time for us to become those amazing conscious creators. And wow, that was a long segue. My guest today, I'm excited to have her, is the amazing Cynthia Sue Larson. She has a degree in physics, I don't even know what that is, from UC Berkeley, an MBA degree, a Doctor of Divinity, a second degree black belt. She has written several bestsellers to include Quantum Jumps, Reality Shifts, High Energy Money, and Aura Advantage. And Cynthia is an amazing woman who has studied and literally experienced jumping from one parallel universe to another. She might have been doing this very moment, Cynthia. I don't know. But I'm so glad to have you on the show. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Loretta. So good to see you.
It's great to see you. And I was telling people, you look like you have a halo around your head. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a picture of White Buffalo Calf woman. And so it's very feminine. Yeah. And she brings that message of peace and bringing the peace pipe to the peoples. So it's a Native American story, but it's good for all of us who relate to our land. And I think right now we're doing that with, as you said, this great awakening, this evolutionary process, thanks to the virus.
Yeah, thank you for that. I love White Buffalo Calf Woman. She is dear to my heart and has brought me many, many messages. What a wonderful way to start this show. She must have wanted to say hello. So I want you to just jump right in. What is the quantum revolution? What are we talking about here? Because I think anytime we say the word quantum, people start to get scared.
Right. And we don't need to be scared. Quantum is natural. So the way I see it, quantum physics is just showing us, informing us of the nature of the tiny, tiny elements of matter. At least that's what we thought it was doing. Turns out it's doing a lot more than just showing us the tiny building blocks of the material nature of the world. So what I mean by tiny is if you think of a of something, the smallest thing you could see, which would might be very tiny, like a grain of sand, that's usually, you can picture it being made of molecules. If you remember your school studies of chemistry and so forth, those little models where you've got these tinker toys and so forth, just showing you, here's a yeah, it's kind of like going back to chemistry and thinking, okay, so we're putting some oxygen together with some hydrogen and you can get water. So your matter would be liquid, you know, H2O, we call it. So people know H2O, we know that's water, that's a molecule. If you break it down, then you've got the hydrogen and the oxygen, two of the hydrogens to one of the oxygen, that's what H2O means. And then if you look inside each of those atoms, like you look inside the oxygen, then you notice it's got a nucleus at the very center. It's mostly space. These atoms are very, they're wide open. It's kind of like, in the scheme of things, if you bring it to human scale, it's like a football field apart is where the electrons are zooming around really fast around the orbits that they go in. Looks a lot like our solar system. So, you know, but when you get really tiny like that, but that's not even the weird part. Then it starts getting weird. I mean, it's all pretty normal up till there. It might start seeming a bit weird because you're looking inside the atom and it's like, whoa, big space. But when you go and you decide, okay, we want to see what's inside an electron. Can we go any smaller? And that's where it gets super fascinating because that electron is a quantum particle. It's capable of making what we call a quantum jump from one level of energy to another, where we can literally see it blips out of existence. Like it goes from one energy level of orbit to the next, and it's gone for a moment. It's kind of like it's there. Now you see it, now you don't. Boom, and it's moved on. So we can actually see some of these quantum jumps with the naked eye that was observed a number of years ago. But then what your question is, what's the quantum revolution? It's not just going to be affecting chemistry anymore. Thanks to our technology driving this process where we humans are, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And we've miniaturized our devices, our cell phones and our laptops, to the point that we can't really get any more power in our computers until we go kind of one level down, smaller than we've even achieved miniaturization of. And so that requires that we're getting into the quantum nature of reality. And that's going to affect every field of science. That's the quantum revolution. So there's not going to be anything untouched. Biology is already recognizing the truth that nature has already established this very quantum observation-based reality. So the observer plays a key role in quantum physics. No longer can we pretend that you can conduct this observation sort of without getting yourself as part of the experiment. And that's huge. So now when you know the observer plays a role, and I think that's probably the number one biggest thing that sets quantum physics apart from classical physics. In classical physics, you can be an objective observer. We thought that was what's the way Western science works. Turns out you can't really do any objective observation in the realm of quantum physics at all. And it gets weirder, but that's just the starting point.
I love it getting weirder. I had several ahas while you were talking, and this idea that yes, we are part of the equation. I've had a two things I want to say. When I was visiting the temples in Egypt, you know, with my group a while back, we went to this one temple, and afterwards people went to buy statues of deities, right? And the man said to me on the side, he said, "You do know that the smaller ones have the most power." And I went, "Oh, that talks to your quantum. That talks to your quantum idea." And then the other thing is that I've had so many people on my show lately who have been talking about this connection of I'm going to say science and spirituality, and bringing that quantum idea into, like for instance, you really cross that bridge, or you really make that connection, and. This idea that particles or something, whatever you said they were, can jump, where do they go? Do right. they just, I mean, can you answer that question or I'm like, where'd they go?
We don't actually know because that gets into some of the other interesting magical qualities of quantum world, which means that when they blip out of existence, it looks like they're literally sort of turning into a probability wave. They're becoming all possibility and they're embodying a range of various possibilities that we can't witness. So when they're out of observation, in other words, they've kind of left the room, we're not looking, you know, in that little moment where we can't see them, that's what seems like electrons, photons, all the quantum particles are doing is, and you see this in the double slit experiment, where an observer again plays a key role, of course. And the very nature of the observation of looking at the apparatus, which is a very simple apparatus, it involves a particle emitter, which is firing one photon at a time, usually. And then there's a screen in between the emitter and then the final wall. So the in-between barrier is the double slits. It's like two little doorways. You could just use a piece of cardboard because you're just shooting little beams of light. So it's whatever you've chosen to put in the middle with the two little narrow slits. The slits are important that they look like little doorways that are kind of narrow and tall, because what they enable the apparatus to do is to show basically on the final screen, the wall on the other side of the emitter, sort of a diffraction pattern, which looks a lot like the ripples on a pond when you throw two pebbles into the pond. You see, like if you throw one pebble, you get concentric circles moving out like big circles would. When you throw two pebbles in, then you get constructive and destructive interference. And that's what you're seeing on that final wall, even when you're shooting one photon through at a time. So what scientists were sort of expecting to see is two, well, they didn't know what they were going to see, but they were thinking maybe if the particle, the photon is a particle, then it would act like a paintball getting flung through one of the slits. And then you get a bunch of splats on one side or the other side of the doorways. And you can see that with this experimental apparatus, but only if you put your observation detection device so that you can literally witness and measure and observe which doorway the photon went through. When you're doing that, then it acts like a paintball. When you're not looking at the slits, then it acts like even one photon at a time, you end up with that amazing pattern. It's like the photons know what you're doing. They know if you're looking or not. They know if you're measuring at the doorway or not. Yeah.
That's very interesting. So we as the observer play a very important part. And I'm going to jump to this question, right? We're talking about, particles or photons, as you say, jumping. What about people jumping? And you have a great group called Reality Shifters. You do a show, you do a radio show yourself. Talk a little bit about how this comes into the living level of our lives.
Right.
And goodness, that's a big question. I don't know where you want to jump in. I'm thinking parallel realities, quantum jumping. There's these words that we have heard all the time. And then the Mandela effect, you know, like how are these things related to each other, or are they?
Yes, they're related. So starting with the question about how do we make quantum jumps? My book, Quantum Jumps, gets into the science of how to do that. And I look at lots of laboratory tested, proven things that we can do. Some of them turn out to be thousands of years old, but they're only recently being tested. So if you want willpower, for example, one example in the book Quantum Jumps is you can open your hands as wide as you can, so that things like just as wide as you possibly can, open those fingers all the way and just hold it for a few seconds. You can remember to breathe. You always want to breathe to your lower abdomen.
Okay.
And then you can make tight fists. And this gives you willpower. So if you just want to do something and you feel like I'm having trouble doing it, whatever that is, sticking to a diet, not snacking, whatever, this is actually proven to work in the laboratory. I'm showing you this amazing thing and I'm telling you it's thousands of years old because I practice martial arts. One of the things we do are key exercises. Like if you ever do martial arts, you might notice you open your fingers wide and you make a tight fist. And I never see it explained in the martial arts that you're giving yourself willpower. But of course, you're always working on your indomitable spirit. So you want to bring that refreshing feeling of spirit to you. So that's an example that you can use right now today. very powerful. So it seems like almost nothing, but a lot of these things seem that way. If you've got a clean pencil or pen, you're feeling depressed, being in lockdown, this is proven to work as well to cheer you up. It's going to seem kind of silly or foolish, but you, I mean, I can't talk when I'm doing it, but you'll put this in your mouth if it's clean. Use some kind of, we're all into cleanliness now, right? So it's nice and clean. And then, I know, I'm trying not to laugh. You'll put it in your mouth and then turn the corners of your mouth up, kind of like this will do it for just a second. And even if you're not feeling happy or cheerful, just the fact that you're doing that, remember to breathe again. Just do it for like a, maybe a few seconds, a minute. Doesn't need to be long. This will has been proven to boost your mood, help you laugh at jokes that otherwise weren't funny. Like people are still sending out those memes that like, oh, not another one about toilet paper. But it'll seem funnier than it would otherwise. You'll be in a better mood. So these are just a couple of examples. And I use them even though they seem kind of silly. Like, well, how do you know that you're in a different reality? This is a subject I've been tracking for over 20 years. And you mentioned realityshifters.com, my website, my newsletter every month. I've been tracking firsthand reports from around the world, including I share my own experiences as well, because I've been witnessing literal shifts in reality. And this is kind of something where it just happens. You don't know what's going on. You might put your keys down or your pen down. You know where you put it, but now it's moved on its own. Like it teleported all by itself. And so this is real. And when I started documenting this in the 1990s, it was going out on the on a limb, actually, because people were not doing but thanks to having such an early track record, every month for more than 20 years, I've been tracking firsthand reports from people around the world. So I've got the location of where in the world this happened, what they were observing, how it changed. And, you know, from a scientific point of view, this is very good. It's a very solid body of evidence going back through all those hundreds of issues of reality shifters, proving, at least to those of us who experience it, that you're not alone. This is a real thing. And so then the difference with quantum jumping, the way I use the term, is that's where you're saying, I want to boost my willpower. I want to be able to understand what Cynthia is talking about right now. And for that one, you can point at your head. My mother used to do this with her kindergarten kids, just have them tap their head. But you can literally just point at your head and you'll start feeling like this is making more sense to me. I know. This is another scientifically proven, laboratory tested, simple thing to make a quantum jump. It's been proven that people doing this end up doing better on cognitive tests like games and puzzles, but it would also work if you're being tested for a job interview or whatever you're about to face where you need to come through feeling a lot smarter. This actually boosts your cognitive skills.
So quantum jumping does not necessarily mean that I suddenly am living a completely different life. We're shifting all the time. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Right.
Or we can consciously do that.
You can consciously do it. If you remember the example that I shared about a little quantum electron just moving from one orbit to another, that it takes energy to make that jump. Yeah. So if you make a jump like you, and I've helped people make jumps where they had a broken bone and it was healed, they had cancer and it was gone. That takes energy to jump into that kind of a reality where suddenly you're in a different reality. There's a different history. Like, for example, the person who broke her bone, a dear friend of mine, I was talking with her on the phone and she'd been jumping boulder to boulder. So I hadn't even seen her in a long time because we used to live close by, but now she was living in Southern California. I was living in Northern California. California is a huge state. It can take like 8 hours to drive between. I'm just talking to her on the phone. She's hobbling around on crutches. Her leg is broken. But I'm just reminding her that she'd actually seen that I'd had a cut on my arm and I put my hand over it and it was instantly healed. That's another quantum jump. You bring energy. This is why Reiki works, if you want the science of it. Absolutely. You're bringing energy to the situation. You're choosing to observe a little differently. With Reiki, you're going into that beautiful state of all possibility. And then you're anchoring in the reality you'd like to go to. that would be the quantum jump. So long story short, my friends, as I'm talking to her on the phone, she said, wow, my leg is starting to feel itchy. And I described this whole story in my book, Quantum Jump, so you can read it. And I said, that's a good sign. If it's feeling itchy, you know, because that means probably it's healing. I don't know how soon it'll heal. But then very soon after, she felt like it was fine. When she went to see a doctor, they were confused because the situation didn't match their notes that the patient had had, you know, obviously signs of a broken bone. I think they had x-rays. So the whole thing quickly changed. But I'm sure you've seen that too with Reiki. Amazing, miraculous things can and do occur. So yes, you can make big jumps. But on the daily basis, I think the little things are big. I love your story about, you know, the power is in the little tiny ones. And I think that's really true. So we might be fascinated with the big jumps and making a big deal out of it. But I think sometimes just those little jumps, like today, I'm going to wake up and feel great. That might be a little thing. Like, well, what difference does that make? That changes your whole day. So little things are big.
No, I so agree with that. And it's interesting because I just had a conversation with one of my clients yesterday about that old thing. Like, you know, you really can consciously do things to change that. And you're absolutely right. You know, if you go through the day all grumpy and down, you're going to have a very different day than if you, you know, get yourself up and smile you know, consciously change the trajectory of everything that's going to happen is kind of how I look at that. It plays into my talk about the North and South nodes, but we're going to actually take a station break, Benny, if it's a good time.
Yeah, let's do it.
And this is Loretta Brown and my amazing guest, one of my soul sisters, Cynthia Sue Larson. And don't go away, because when we get back, we're going to talk about more about quantum jumping, the Mandela effect, and probably a little bit about the virus and what's that got to do with anything, right? We'll be right back.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
During these challenging times, there's a place that provides vet care for people who cannot afford it. It's called DonyCo Pet Clinic, and it's been providing veterinary and wellness care for thousands of pets in the Seattle area since 1986. This includes access to spay and neutering, which is a requirement for all pets. If you'd like to find out more about DonyCo or to make a donation, visit DonyCo.org. That's DonyCo.org.
It's time that you are heard, and I don't mean in just a conversation. I mean really heard. Imagine hosting your very own radio program on Alternative Talk 1150. Talk about being heard. Call 425-653-1150 right now to learn how affordable it can be to host your own radio show. Time slots are going fast, so take hold of this chance by dialing 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Alternative Talk 1150, here to uplift your day.
Welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show with Loretta Brown. Hey, who knew? The name is perfect. My guest today is Cynthia Sue Larson. I have to stop laughing so much, Cynthia. And I am the owner of Reiki Oasis, and she does all kinds of things with quantum jumping, realityshifters.com. Is that it?
That's right.
And before the break, Cynthia really said something, or during the break, she said something that I just have to repeat because I think this is the key to the whole thing. We are the observers, and as the observer of our life, we're the ones that, how should I say this? We're the one that shift our reality. Yeah.
That's right. And it happens by the way we choose to observe it. So if you know that it makes a difference, if you're smiling, like we use the pen example, if you're observing with a smile, you have a sense of humor, things are funnier if you choose to do that. But sometimes we forget we've got that choice and we take things really heavily. And if you're taking it heavily, you're not going to be able to see the actual opportunities that would be there just by changing your attitude and your perspective, the way you observe.
So I realize that I've got 8,000 questions and our time just, we're going to try to stretch that out a little bit. You know, because I'm thinking about coronavirus, the pandemic. I'm thinking about memory. I'm thinking about we're the observers, and so therefore our experience is very uniquely our very own. And yet, and I don't know if you can talk to this, but the fact that I've pondered this a lot, we are a collective. Like we're, I'm not sure the right words, would entanglement be the right word? Quantum entanglement?
Yes.
Maybe. We're all in this together. Do you want to just sort of address that in your beautiful way?
Sure. Yeah.
Because okay. There's 85 questions in there, right?
Right. So we want to weave in the virus and our entanglement, our connection with others. Long story short on the entanglement, we are healthier when we have a community. So right now it's an interesting time because the virus is, of course, we're sheltering in place all around the world, each of us doing the same thing at the same time. So at the same time, we have a sense, if you invite it, that we are connected to everyone else doing what we're doing. It's not just we're the one who can't play baseball in the park today. Nobody can play baseball in the park today around the world. So that's a feeling of entanglement when you start recognizing my network is, of course, it's my own network, but right now I'm connected to everybody. So that's that extraordinary feeling that some of us who are intuitive are really sensing right now. At the same time as we're witnessing the earth beginning to breathe, the blue sky over Los Angeles, clear water in the canals in Venice. And yeah. So there's this collective sigh of relief, like, okay, we're all taking a time out. We're all getting a chance to, if we want to, boost our energy. We're getting a chance to meditate. We're getting a chance to be still, to go within. I love what you said about the nodes and that whole idea of moving out of that hierarchical, oppressive feeling of work. And I am Capricorn, triple Capricorn. So I can, you know.
Woo!
I know.
my moon's in Capricorn, so I'm very affected by it too.
Oh, yes. So you can feel it. So I've got my sun and I've got Venus and Mars. So I've got a very interesting combination. But anyway, so I understand the Capricorn thing, but I get the joy.
I'll send you some love right now.
Well,
anyway.
That's okay. At least for those of us who are Capricorn, we're familiar with the heavy feeling of so much responsibility. So that's good. But I love moving into this Gemini and Sagittarius combo that's coming. But getting back to the physics again. So let's stay there. So when we are the observer of our life, and that is a key observation, and you recognize you've got levels of being, because when you're a part of a team, it feels different than when you're flying solo and doing your own thing. So I do solo activities, you know, with my martial arts is more of you focus on yourself mostly. So you're working on your forms and trying to perfect your moves. It's like Tai Chi. We have forms, so it's very beautiful and flowing. And you can kind of tell when it's working and when it's not because things feel right or they don't. But then when you're working in a group environment and everybody's involved around the world, that's different. So that's what I meant about the nodes being relevant with what you said earlier about the virus. We are definitely feeling both. And in physics, when you look at the entanglement, entanglement, what does that mean? It means that they're, let's take a look at like flipping a coin. Usually, because our computers work that way, they're like a coin toss and then it's random process occurs. You either get heads or tails. We're familiar with that. It's binary, one or the other. We think that that's the way things are. Remember, nature is actually quantum. So it's it always has been. It's not like suddenly like, oh my gosh, we're in a simulation. Maybe, or maybe we're finally recognizing that what we thought we invented, nature was there first, as usual. I think that's more the case. But with the entanglement situation, you've got for the quantum computers that are being built right now, imagine that you're flipping a dozen coins in the air. They're all up in the air spinning. They're in the realm of possibility. We don't know how they're going to land. And these are qubits we're talking about. And you calculate the probability of heads or tails based on this quantum probability. But you can also recognize that when they all land, if they're entangled, they'll all be the same. So suddenly you've got 12 heads or you've got 12 tails. But in that moment of unknown, you've got probabilities happening, and it's an entangled group. So the power of quantum computing comes from partially this entanglement, and also other factors like the superposition of states, where in the air, they're both heads and tails, and they're both. So it's like that Schrodinger's cat being alive and dead. It's the idea that something can be in an unobserved state until you observe it. What's happening? Where is it in between? We don't have any quantum interpretation that everyone agrees on right now. So I can't tell you, like, well, for sure, we're living in a multiverse. It looks that way, but we can't say that for sure. These are interpretations. We can say maybe it's a handshake through time, like time travel, like we're getting information. It does look like that for sure, but we can't say for sure that it is the transactional interpretation. Might be a holographic universe. It looks that way. Like one small thing here can affect something else way over there. Yes, but we can't say for sure that it is.
Well, and I'm thinking while you're talking at a very, you know, like the fact that everybody, okay, so we're all experiencing this sheltering, you know, with the pandemic, but our observation of it, like I could be in extreme fear over here, or I could be in, it's okay, things are working out the way they are, right? You know, right. Or I could be focused on something completely different, right? Right. And that ability to affect that or to create that or to be part of that process is kind of intriguing to me. In this realm of you know, quantum effect or quantum entanglement, quantum jumping, the way that we are connected to each other, and you and I kind of talked during the break, like it's very energetic. And I'm thinking along the lines of timelines, whether or not timelines actually exist or not. Can I affect the past? Can
yes.
I? Okay. And how does memory play into this at any level?
Yeah, this is where it all intersects, actually. You're going right to the center of things, like you did with noticing that when you're the observer of your life, that's the key idea. Same thing with this time aspect, because you can change your past. Like my friend Susan, who had that broken leg, and then suddenly she didn't. And now the other part of that story is, as typically is the case, there's now a backstory where, according to the doctors, maybe she never had a broken leg. It gets kind of weird when you get into this territory. So some of the proof that this happened might vanish, and all you've got left are your memories. Like, I know my leg was broken. I know that's what they said. And it's okay if it changes. That's what I'm most excited about this research I've been doing for more than 20 years, that it's okay to recognize that sometimes the past changes. And that I like to keep that attitude, how good can it get? That applies to the past as well. Because when you've got things changing, you can literally see like the past, the historical facts are different. Everything is just shifted. And I think that's so extraordinary, so exciting.
Well, that takes us into the Mandela effect, doesn't it? I mean, can you talk about that? Because I'm fascinated by that. I mean, I am one of those people that literally remember Nelson Mandela passed away and then, no, he's not, right?
Right.
So could you please explain to people what that is if they don't know?
Okay, so the Mandela effect, a lot of people in America are talking about the Berenstain or Berenstain Bears or Berenstein. They're like, how do you pronounce that favorite book that everyone knows?
Yeah, it was Berenstein for me. It
right. Right. And now apparently you could never pronounce it that way because apparently it's always been Berenstain. And if you look it up and you talk to the authors and their families, they'll kind of be annoyed, like it's always been Berenstain. And similarly with Nelson Mandela, which is where the phrase Mandela effect came from. And that was reported, you know, like you and I both heard originally. I don't know what it was for you, but for me, maybe the late 80s, early, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
He was in an institution in jail on Robben Island for the work that he'd done for the uprising of the African, you know, the blacks that had not had any real freedom or rights. And so he'd fought for that. And that's how he'd ended up in prison. But and so it wasn't that unexpected that he died. What was weird for a lot of us is when we suddenly noticed, whoa, he's alive. And then it started, that became a topic. Fiona Broom is given a lot of the credit for that, but actually Art Bell also brought the subject up much earlier, around 2001 on his Coast to Coast show. He had hundreds of people writing to him where he was saying, this is weird because, and to Art Bell, it seemed like time travelers had done this. So there's a lot of open speculation in the community, the Mandela Effect community, of what's going on. And there are lots of theories, which is why there have been some conferences happening, and we're going to have another one coming up in June, free. It's going to be telebroadcast, live streaming, June 20th through the 26th. And you can go to the website imec.world for all the information. That's International Mandela Effect Conference, or IMEC for short, .world. So we'll, I'll be speaking, our keynote will be Regina Meredith.
Oh, wonderful. I love Regina. Yeah.
Well, yeah. 15 speakers, lots of panels and questions and answer and involvement from everybody that wants to be involved. So, yeah, but this is a huge thing, this whole Mandela effect. And I think it really embodies what I've been looking at when what I called reality shifts. That's a personal Mandela effect. So what happens when you see a collective experience, like with Nelson Mandela suddenly being alive when we remember he died. Now, of course, he's died again a few years ago. For some of us, these things also change. Like some people, it seems like their date of death moves around a little bit. You're not necessarily crazy if you've noticed some of these things. And it's very reassuring, I think, to find communities where people can say, I remember it that way too. Like the kidneys in the body, I remember, I do martial arts. And if you put your hands where your kidneys used to be, it's kind of like you've climbed up a big hill and you put your hands on the lower back, right?
Right.
That's what I remember. Yeah. In martial arts, there's something called a kidney punch. You know not to do it because it wasn't just folklore, but we were told if you strike, hit, or kick someone in the kidneys in that lower back position, they might start bleeding in their urine. They might die. It was very dangerous. There's no more risk of that because the kidneys are not located there anymore. And that affected like 8 billion people on the planet, seemingly instantaneously. The kidneys are now relatively safely tucked under the ribs. They've moved up. So that's
they are?
Yes.
I didn't know. Oh, that's very fascinating. So, yeah. So in this Mandela effect, because this is big news. For those of you that don't know about it, you really should search it out. And of course, go check out Cynthia Sue Larson and find out, because you've done research on this forever. And to me, it's fascinating because it's all kinds of things that I grew up with that you're right, they're not there anymore. And the kidneys, the shifting of the body, I was not aware of those things. The healing of things, like I've actually seen that in my Reiki practice too, where, you know, somebody came in when their face was all beat up and I put my hands there for Reiki and the bruising and the swelling all just went away. Right. So yeah, that's fascinating.
And this gets into your timeline. You mentioned earlier about timelines and time travel. So that's where this all comes up again. It becomes a topic of what are these? Are these different timelines? It does look like it. And then is there some sort of orthogonal movement through the timelines? It appears to be the case, yeah.
There's a great movie with Gwyneth Paltrow called Sliding Doors, right? Which where she's running for the subway and then the door closes right in front of her and then they follow that. And then they do it again where she runs to the subway and she makes it on. And they show that what happens with just that one change and how that affects her life.
I love that movie. That's such a good example. Yes.
Yeah, I it was kind of eye-opening for me, and I really sat and pondered it. And I thought to myself, you know, it all day long, every moment, I mean, we have so many choices to make all the time. And sort of like what you were talking earlier about, if you, you know, want to smile, you know, or point to your head and figure it out, right? But the choices that we make, they do take us in a different direction. So in that way, then, are we changing the future? Are we, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, we're changing the future and the past. We usually don't notice that we've just changed the past as well. So that tends to be not so much something we pay attention to. The exception is I get a lot of emails from people that write to me and they say, I just want to change this one thing. A mistake was made. Can I go back and fix it? And for average people, that's kind of like they want to be a Jedi master in one go. It's like, give me the baking recipe for how to make cupcakes and I will become a Jedi master and do this. I don't think it works that way. Is it doable? I think anything's doable. But you can't get a recipe for success, at least not that I've seen, that anybody can do, because this is much more an activity akin to, it takes the martial arts mental focus, the martial arts breath training and energy training. So if you really want to be good at it, I would say study martial arts, actually. It's going to help. A Tai Chi, that would be good. Yoga would be good. So if you don't feel like there's a martial art you can do, there are lots of good training systems that are available. But yeah, absolutely. So you're seeing those literal changes in those in the past.
Yeah, and I'm hearing what you're saying too. So in order to purposely quantum jump, right, or reality shift, whichever way you want to put that, it takes focus.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolute focus.
It, you know, they say fake it until you make it. Is there some element of that in there, or it's more than that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because what we did with the pen, this is one of the techniques from the field of embodied cognition. It's a research field in psychology right now. So people that do embodied cognition recognize that you can put your body through the movements that the rest of you associates with a certain cognitive state of being, like happiness, and you'll just jump into that. You'll bring yourself there. And so that is really a key aspect of it. And I do mention a lot of examples in my book, Quantum Jumps, from embodied cognition, because they're perfectly geared toward bringing us all of a piece. And this gets back to the key of being the observer of your life. To do that really well, you need to be unified. You need to be integrated. Most people are not. So that means their mind is somewhere, their heart is somewhere, and their gut is yet a third place. That's the real reason it helps to do Tai Chi, yoga, or martial arts, because you need to bring it together. And unless you've been practicing to do that, chances are that you are longing for things that are really out of your range that you don't really want, but you think you want them. And your heart is usually broken or kind of trampled, and you're feeling just really heavy about things that have happened that you could move on, but you're not able, you feel like you can't. And then your gut, your subconscious, is constantly telling you that you don't have the energy to do things. And then you get into downward cycles of eating badly, unfortunate love relationships, and so forth. But you don't need to do that. You can bring it together. And when you bring it together, you're all of a piece. You become that feeling of like your spirit in your life. You feel inspired. You feel present. You feel like you're not torn different directions. And you can start practicing good things such as movement and meditation, eating well, resting well. And then even in a lockdown situation, you can feel fantastic.
Yeah, I think bringing the body in is so important. I call it the mind-body-spirit connection. It's the same thing that you're talking about. But you change something, you change everything. Kind of the little things, kind of what you said earlier. I'm just going to ask a general question. Maybe there's got an answer, maybe not. What do you think is one of the most important things that we can be doing during this time of massive change?
Really, this is a good time to ask yourself what you're living for, to really become that unified being that you are here to be. If you feel like you can't answer that question, someone asked the other day, they asked me, well, how do I know what that is? How do I know what I'm here to do? You can ask yourself that when you fall asleep every night, and ask yourself to get dreams that instruct you and guide you. You can go out in nature if you're able to, and just feel, again, that asking that question, what am I here? What am I living for? You know, what is the purpose of this for me? I think this is a huge opportunity for all of us to get that reset. And because our subjective experience is so powerful. It'll change your life for sure. But also, when you become more positive, you'll have this amazing impact on everyone you're entangled with. You'll be able to lift their spirits. So that's why I'm sure you've noticed, Loretta, because you're such a bright light, that if you don't really have the option right now to get negative, because it drags everybody down. So it's like, that's, I can't go there. So, right, you can't go there. You wouldn't want to anyway.
I'm giggling because once again, I've had this conversation with people lately, and I have in my head a list of about 8,000 things to go do to lift my spirits in case I start to go down. And then there is that, what I call attending to the self, right? You know, I do have to attend to the self as well as to others. And so do you. And I know you get that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for everyone listening, because people have more people watching them than they realize. I think that's a big thing. And that's hopefully what everyone's noticing, is that you're missed. You know, just the fact that you're not in your usual communities, people miss you. They need you.
Yeah. And everybody's feeling that too. I also notice, like, if I go to the grocery store, that people are sort of like, right? And I'm a hugger, right? You know, I'm a hug whore. That's what I tell people. And so we're going to have to, you know, get back into things gently. I know we're going to have to do it gently, but our hearts are all in it together. We're in this together. And I have this sense that we are, even right now, as you and I are talking, we are creating moment by moment by moment. And if we can keep focused on that good thing that we want, that would really be my hope for the future. Where can people find you? What do you offer? We've got about 2 minutes left or something. And any last words from you to everybody?
Yes. My website, we mentioned it. It's realityshifters.com. That's the main place to find me. Then you can sign up for my newsletter. So you'll find out when I've got events such as this interview, anything that I do on YouTube, my podcast, Living the Quantum Dream. So there's all of that going on. And then I like to include information each month. I'll be announcing the conference that's coming up. And I mentioned that website also. That's imec.world, with 15 speakers, keynote address by Regina Meredith. And I think everybody knows who she is. She was instrumental in getting most of the programming going at Gaia that people know about right now. She really helped found that. So she's amazing. Other things that I do are all announced on realityshifters.com. So you can see my Twitter, my Facebook, all of that. And each month's newsletter, specifically targeting whatever's happening in the world, like this great awakening that we're having as we evolve as humans, individually and collectively. And then my favorite expression, everybody knows who watches my videos, of course, how good can it get? And I love to ask that about the future, about the past, every situation. It really opens up that field of possibility again. And that's the key, just to let go of what you think is happening, what you think you know, what you think must be, and allow it to open to invite the magical, the wonderful, the exceptional.
I love that. Thank you so much for being on the show. Cynthia Sue Larson, amazing. You got to check her out, realityshifts.com. And do catch that online teleconference June 20 through 26th. And everybody be good. I'm Loretta Brown with Reiki Oasis. And we'll see you next time. Take care of your nodes. Bye now.